There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
How did it feel to follow in Siobhan's shoes? Like, what was it like being given the title, the characters, and then being asked to write with that already outlined for you?
It was an exciting challenge, but as soon as I started, I realized how daunting it was going to be. All I had was the title. Siobhan had obviously written the whole of the London Eye mystery when she died, but she hadn't really started to plan the Guggenheim mystery yet. It was just, it existed as that, those three words, the title. And I had to pick it up and work out not just what I, you know, what the mystery was going to be, but work out what Siobhan might have wanted the mystery to be. And that was sort of layers of mystery to uncover.
So figuring out what her intention was the restrictive part, not necessarily being given the characters.
It was more sort of like the first clue in a treasure hunt.
Right.
And following it, reading about the Guggenheim, visiting the Guggenheim, I really started to understand what the story should be. Because obviously the Guggenheim isn't a museum in a traditional sense. You know, we imagine, I think, often a museum being a sort of large square building that's quite old with lots of artifacts and, you know, sort of old paintings. But of course the Guggenheim in New York is this quite small building that is round, and it has this ramp going up the center of it. So you can look at art in a very different way. And realizing that and seeing that space, I realized that it was a different sort of concept of a museum, in the same way that Ted's brain is quite different from the other people in his family's brains, and he sees the world in a very unique way. And I kind of understood that Siobhan wanted to write a book that was centering difference, that was talking about how unique Ted is, that was giving a unique perspective on a museum mystery. And that was kind of the beginning of the plot that I put together and the story that I ended up writing.
Speaking of Ted, how did you find it difficult to get into the head of Ted and portray a character that had Asperger's? How did you find that?
I mean, I did find it difficult at first, partly because Siobhan has done such a wonderful job with him. He is such a well-rounded character. He's somebody you could really imagine meeting. And reading the London Eye Mystery, you feel like you know him and you feel like you care very deeply about him. So trying to write him was, first of all, I wanted to make sure that I was echoing the character that Siobhan had created and writing a Ted who would feel like the Ted from the London Eye Mystery. But, you know, knowing that he has Asperger's, knowing that this is a condition that, or this is something that lots of people, you know, this is who they are, and wanting to create that character respectfully. I did a lot of reading about, you know, Asperger's, about autism. I read an amazing book called The Reason I Jump, which was really helpful to me. And, I mean, I know that, you know, everyone is unique. Everyone has different experiences of autism and Asperger's. But I tried to use research and talk to people and get as close as I could to that person that Siobhan had created.
I really enjoyed the book, particularly those moments where Ted sees the world differently and is at odds with everybody else's take on the situation. And I wondered if you had to pick your favourite Ted moment from the Guggenheim mystery, what would it be?
Ooh, that is an interesting question. I always like the bit, there's so many good moments. I think that he's such a fantastic character.
Mm.
I think of the bit being very sort of idiosyncratically Ted, when they're walking down the street and he sees the sort of big main street of New York kind of like a river, and there's all this noise coming at him, and there's all this sound and smell and, you know, the light, and he's quite stressed by it but quite excited by it right before they go to the Museum of Modern Art.
Mm.
And that, to me, is quite a good Ted moment.
I have some questions for you from our young reviewer, Amina, and they're brilliant. So I'm going to start off, I'm going to work my way through her questions. So she wants to know who your favourite author was as a child.
Ooh, that is a good question. My favourite author, I mean, I had a lot of favourite authors. I was a just a huge bookworm, and I would read anything. One of my favorite mystery writers was Blyton, but the author that I think I connected to most and I think has really inspired me as an author isn't actually a mystery writer at all. It's an author called Diana Wynne Jones, who is a fantasy writer. She's kind of like J.K. Rowling before there was a J.K. Rowling. She writes about witches and wizards and other worlds. And her stories are always so imaginative and exciting and fun to read. But the characters in them are always completely realistic. You feel like you could meet them in real life. You feel like they might go to your school. You feel like they might be your family members. And that mix of, you know, fantasy and magic and complete reality was something that I loved and something that I really wanted to do in my own books, create people who really felt like people.
Why did you choose crime fiction as a genre to write about, and have you experimented with other genres? Another question there from Amina.
So I chose it because crime fiction is my favorite kind of story to read. I never get bored reading a crime novel, and I think most people don't get bored reading a crime novel because they are just so interesting. There's a puzzle to solve. You have to work out what happened along with the detective. You have to read it in a very active way that means you can't kind of get bored and put it down. And I think that it's really important to choose a kind of story that you really enjoy as a reader to write, because it means that during the, you know, drafting process, during the planning process, you are always engaged, you are always fascinated, and you never switch off. And that means that you can tell a story that will really fascinate readers in turn.
What's the quote? No interest in the writer, no interest in the reader, or something like it. Sounds
exactly. Yeah. And I am at the moment writing the seventh book in the Murder Most Unladylike Mysteries series, which is my main ongoing series. And I'm not bored of it yet. I'm absolutely loving crafting another mystery story. And I think that will be passed on to the readers, and I'm hoping that they'll keep on enjoying it as well.
Speaking of Murder Most Unladylike, another question from Amina. She says, I mentioned to my dad that I was really enjoying reading a murder mystery book, Murder Most Unladylike, and he seemed very concerned. Has anyone ever asked you whether murder is an appropriate topic for kids?
Yes, people ask me that all the time, and it's interesting. The people who ask me are always the parents and the teachers. And that is a completely natural response, because I think as adults, we worry about, you know, the children in our lives, we worry about whether they're reading things that are appropriate.
Mm.
But I wrote Murder Most Unladylike because I have a really clear memory of being 12 years old and reading Agatha Christie for the first time and being just fascinated by it, being just amazed at how intricate it was, at how exciting it was, and how serious it was. I think there's something that's quite different about murder to almost any other type of book, any type of mystery. Because at the beginning of the story, somebody is dead, and that means that all your sort of natural desire to see justice done is fired up, and you have to keep reading, you have to know what happens, because you want to see that murderer punished. It's not so much about enjoying the crime as being horrified by it and wanting to fix it. And that is what murder mysteries allow you to do. And that is something that I think children enjoy as much as adults, because children know that terrible things happen every day, even from quite a young age. I remember understanding that crimes happened and being worried about that and wanting to think about it. And I actually think it's important for children to be allowed to consider dark topics, scary topics, in a way that is safe, in a way that is ultimately positive, so they can have the experience of working through those thoughts and trying to understand it in a framework where you know at the end everything is going to be okay. And that's what I loved about starting to read murder mysteries when I was 12. But at that point, there really weren't any murder mysteries written sort of specifically for children. So I was having to pick up books for adults. And that was fine, but I really wished I could see people like me in a murder mystery story, and I could see them saving the day, I could see them working out what had happened and getting justice for those victims. And that was really what drove me to write Murder Most Unladylike, because I knew there was a desire in myself, and I knew that other children had that same desire you know, to try to fix the world, try to see it made better, and that is what you're able to do with murder mysteries. When I write them, they are less about the horrible crime. I don't really want to think about that. I want to think about the puzzle, and I want to think about justice being done. And I sort of hope that readers will get to see both of those things.
I just wish your books had been around in my school library when I was little.
No, I wish it too, but really, they are the books that I had wanted when I was 12, something that felt a bit safer than totally adult-based murder mysteries, but still had a totally compelling crime at its centre.
Yeah, I had a similar problem choosing books from the library and my parents trying to figure out stuff that would interest me but was also, you know, for a child and not for grown-ups.
Yeah, it is hard. And I think also, I think often adults forget how old children really are, or they forget what that age means.
Mm.
And it's just a very difficult balancing act, making sure that kids are engaged and kids are never talked down to, but at the same time, a safe framework is kept in place.
And lastly, Amina would like to know how long it takes you to write a book.
So, I am actually quite a quick writer in comparison to a lot of my friends, a lot of other writers that I know. I can write a first draft of one of my books in about 3 months. And that is after I have done a very careful plan. I will, before I sit down to write, I will write down who did it and why and how and all of the parts of the crime and what all my other suspects are doing at the time. So I'm very clear on the plot of my story, and the first draft is just me getting out words on the page, kind of spewing them down and finishing the story, telling it badly, so then I can go back and fix it and tweak it and start actually telling the story I had wanted to tell at the beginning, make sure it all fits together. And that part, the rewriting, takes me another sort of 5 months, and I will go through about sort of 4 or 5 drafts altogether. I'm currently working on the third draft of my new book, and there are going to be about, you know, 2 more after that. But altogether, I can sort of go start to finish in about sort of 9 or 10 months, which means that I can do about 1.5 books every year. And I think it's important because my readers read so fast. You know, it takes me 10 months to write a book, and then they read it in 2 days, and then they want the next one. And I'm trying to keep up with that demand as much as I can.
That must be great once you've finally kind of published the book. Maybe you're having a bit of a sit down and a cup of tea after it's done, and then people are saying, where's the next one?
I know, I know. I mean, you know, I have a sit down that's about a weekend, and then I sit again. But I really enjoy that. I love what I do so much. I love the writing process. And if I wasn't writing, I would feel antsy because there would be stories all building up in my head, and I would want to be putting them down on paper. I would be writing even if I didn't have a publishing contract. But having a publishing contract does focus my mind and make me write even faster than I would otherwise.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.